So this morning, this discussion is going to be a little bit different than our usual, in that usually we discuss a controversy. And this morning, I'd actually like to do the opposite, which is I'd like to create a controversy. My goal is that afterwards we should feel so fired up, so worked up about this controversy. And if you walk out saying that the bottom line of this year is that you should say Tachanun and Slichus and Ter Kriya on Yom HaAtzmaut, then it's a success. Then that's good. Because our topic today is, of course, Yom HaAtzmaut. This is in Yana D'Yoma. Today is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Tav Shin Pei Beis. Habo Aleinu L'Tova. Should have a good month. Should be a good zman. Everybody should be well. And the reason why I want to focus on this and why I think it's important and challenging is that it seems to me, and you could totally disagree, but it seems to me that it's not inherently a controversy. And that maybe it once was. That today, you don't have people debating or discussing or arguing whether or not we're going to say Hallel this Thursday, Habo Aleinu L'Tova. I don't think that's so much of an issue. I don't think people are arguing about it. I don't think it's controversial. Some people do, and some people don't. If you look on the first page, we are actually not going to. This would be, the normal structure of this year would be, we're going to go through the different marmakomos as to whether or not you should recite Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, and whether you should say a bracha or you should not say a bracha. But I dafka don't want to do that today. And if you want more details about that, you can look in this article. You can see how old this article, 1984. The RJJ Journal, number 7, Ancient History, 1984. Reciting Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, the opening article, the case for Rabbi Ralph Pelkovitz, Zichrono Levracha, and Lahavdarim Chaim Lachaim, the case against Rabbi Dr. Solomon Ryback. So you can look there, you get all the marmakomos. But no one's talking about that anymore. No one's arguing about it. All kinds of other halachic related questions as it relates to Sfiras HaOmer and particular observances, but it doesn't seem to me like people are fighting that it's much of a controversy at all. Because it used to be a controversy. You know, and there's a hilltop in Bnei Brak with a very prominent yeshiva. The yeshiva was started by Rav Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman, the Panavizha Rav. So he established the Panavizha Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. This was a transplant of the great European bastion of Torah, which was destroyed during the war by the Germans. And Rav Kahaneman dreamed this vision. He reestablished the yeshiva. But it was an Eastern Lithuanian yeshiva tradition. Rav Kahaneman used to fly a flag on Yom HaAtzmaut on the Panavizha Yeshiva. And one Yom HaAtzmaut, his wife came in and she was very upset that one of the Bachrim had taken down the flag from the Panavizha Yeshiva. So Rav Kahneman, he went out and he instructed one of the other Bachrim, you take the flag and you put it back. The problem is, that was in the 50s and in the 60s. But no one's fighting about that anymore. And I'm not saying, chas v'shalom, I'm not being mekatreg and motzi laz, that people don't care. We do care, but just somehow it seems to me that we're not as passionate about it as maybe we used to be. So it's not a thing. No one's fighting about it. This whole issue about Hallel and Yom HaAtzmaut, I think people used to get very worked up about this. Now, nobody gets worked up about it at all. You know, maybe we eat blue and white cookies, or my kids get the blue and white frosted donuts that are Pas Yisrael and Yashan, and you have all, so they, but like, to me, what we need to remember is that Yom HaAtzmaut is supposed to be a controversy. The whole notion of a controversy, what have we been talking about this whole year, is that there are issues that get people upset. They get people worked up. And so you're going to find, if you go back through all the controversies that we talked about, people very, very passionate about these different issues. And that's what I'd like to propose this morning. That instead of studying Yom HaAtzmaut as a controversy, we need to take a few moments to remind ourselves that Yom HaAtzmaut should be a controversy. Because maybe, perhaps, that is the ikar, or an ikar, of the whole role that Eretz Yisrael should play in our spiritual development. And I'll explain to you what I mean by that. See the Gemara here. The Gemara says, Barishona, the Mishnah in Sukkot Daf Mem Aleph, Hayalulav Nital B'Mikdash Shiva U'Medina Yom Echad. It used to be in the Beis HaMikdash, U'Lekachtem Lachem B'Yom HaRishon, that the Pasuk, it indicates in Parshas Emor that you only take the Dal Minim on Sukkot on the first day, but U'Smachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. In the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple, you took the four species all 7 days. That's what it was. If we, you know, originally, if we were living in Golis in Skokie, and it was Sukkot, we would only take Dal Minim 1 day. That was it. We forget that, because today we take it 7 days. But in the original plan in the Chumash, it was 1 day outside. Outside, and this is a question, Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim, but certainly in Efrat, or in Tzfat, or in New York, you would only take the Dal Minim the first day. However, Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made an enactment, Shehe Lulav Nital B'Mikdash Shiva. You should have a practice, which is what we do today, to take the four species all 7 days wherever you live. Why? To remember the Beis HaMikdash, Zeich LeMikdash. Parenthetically, you are noticing the phrase here is Zecher LeMikdash, remembering the Beis HaMikdash. As we will see shortly, there's another Zecher that we're going to do that's a little bit different, similar but different. But let's just keep this one clear. This is Zecher LeMikdash, the way that things were in the time when we had a Beis HaMikdash. So says the Gemara, Minolon, how do you know Da'avdinon Zecher LeMikdash, that you must institute things that remind you, that commemorate the Beis HaMikdash? Am Reb Yochanan, Pasuk says, to Amar Kro, ki ele aruch alach, umimakusayich erpeich, nu umashem, ki nitcha karulach, tzion hi, doresh ein la. Baruch Shalom says, one day, I will heal you. One day, I'll give you a hug. I'll make things better. And I'm going to bring you back, and I will heal your wounds, because it is Tzion. Tzion he, but right now, Doresh Ein La. There is nothing, no one, there is no Drisha. Lidrosh, what is to darshan? It means to pursue, to delve into, to engage. That's what a drush is, right? You take a simple level of a verse, and you develop a homily from it. You delve into it. Something beneath the surface. There's more. You pursue it. So the Gemara has a drasha. Because the verse says, Tzio Doresh Ein La. There is no one who's searching out right now. No one's pursuing. No one's delving into Tzion. Says the Gemara, Mechlal, Tzion Doresh Ein La. Therefore, Mechlal, from this we learn a principle, Debaya, that it needs drisha. It needs drisha, seeking. So that's interesting. If a person doesn't have the potential to light Shabbos candles, let's say, is there a reason that they should, like, want to light Shabbos candles any more than they should want to do any other mitzvah? Right? Is there a special notion of, like, getting involved? Right? Let's say a person, lo aleinu, They were in a situation, Rachman al-Islan, where they couldn't get matzah for Pesach. So is there a particular reason for them to sit down and read a box of Horowitz Margaretten ingredients? Right? Is there a reason to do that according to the halacha? No. I mean, unfortunately, a person doesn't have matzah, they don't have matzah. But somehow the Gemara says, you know, then when it comes to Tzion, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, there's a special requirement that you have to have a drisha. You have to do something that shows that you're thinking about it, that you care about it. So interesting. Michlal deboy drisha. It tells you that there's something different about this principle, the principle of Eretz Yisrael, the principle of Tzion, that it's not just every other mitzvah. The Gemara even emphasizes that when it comes to the world of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara tells us that we don't have korbanos sacrifices today, but if you study the laws of sacrifices, it's ki'ilu, it's as if you offered sacrifices. Somehow, the learning and the being involved, just being involved, that's something. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, well, you know, today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we got to make sure that we're still involved. We still remember. So we have to make a zecher. We make a zecher. What do we make a zecher? We have tefillin. We have dal minim 7 days. We all sat at the Seder, Baruch Hashem. We had a zecher at the Seder. Zecher l'mikdash kehillo. Right? Interesting. We don't make a zecher if a person can't put on tefillin. There's no zecher. But there's a zecher to the mikdash. There's a zecher, there's an inyan of drishas tzion. That you don't have tzion, you don't have it, you don't have it. So you don't say, oh, I don't have it, there's nothing to do. They're so interesting. There is a new idea that you have to be doresh tzion. If you take a look on the next page, there's a sefer called Torah Samitzvot, written by a Talmud of the Rashba, 14th century in Sicily. He emphasizes this idea that not only do we need to remember Tzion, we need to do things to make us feel connected. Even though we remember Eretz Yisrael and Tzion in our heart, in our mouth, we need lis avos, means to desire. We need to wish we were back in Israel. And therefore, he quotes Gemara Bava Basra that many of us have experienced in our life. That im lo ales Yerushalayim al rosh simchasi, you have a wedding, you marry off a child, what do? They break a glass, that's right. Or they put lasim evel tachas, efer tachas pe'er, right? They put the ashes on the forehead of the chasen. When we got married, I don't know why, we were very busy, and we forgot to do the ashes. I don't know who remembered. But Rav Shechter Shlito was on the Sadar Kiddushin. Somebody brought it to our attention or his attention. So he said, oh, okay, we didn't do it at the chuppah, so we do it at the dinner. So that's what we did. Exactly. Rabbi Yitzchak, so zu efer mikla shibarosh echasanim. And that's why third line, od amru, sod adam espesu besidu mishari bodover muat. When you build a new home, if you're refurbishing your home, so you should leave one amma, right? These are actions that remind us of longing for Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rav Soloveitchik has an important distinction between these two, which is that there is a difference between Zecher LeMikdash and Zecher LeChurban, two different sides of the same coin. Right? In the Mishnah, we were talking about doing something to commemorate how they lived at the time when we had the temple. The other way is to remember the fact that we don't have a temple. Those are two halves of the same coin. They're not the same. Rav Soloveitchik has a whole essay in development on how they are different. But they're both trying to make the same point, which is that in the absence of tefillin, in a certain sense, there's not much to say. But in the absence of Eretz Yisrael, in the absence of Mikdash, in the absence of Geula, there is a lot to say. And there is a lot to do. And that should tell us something. What is it telling us? It's telling us perhaps that there is a kiyum, there is an element that even without Eretz Yisrael, by searching for it, by connecting to it, by doing things that make us remember that we are Dorish, that must be some form of kiyum, a fulfillment, a way of fulfilling that mitzvah. Otherwise, what's the point? Is it the purpose of keeping the dream alive? If it's just a vehicle to keep the dream alive, then that should be true for anything. But it must be that there is something inherent that just by wanting, by being Dorish Eretz Yisrael, it's a kiyum of Eretz Yisrael. And we see this. We see this. It is actually Gemara Mefureshes and Ksubas in source number 3. Says the Gemara in Ksubas. Uletzion yeomer ish v'ish yulad ba v'hu yechonenea elyon. Pasuk in Tehillim. The Gemara has a fascinating drasha. The context of this Gemara is actually not related to this. It's talking about a series of miracles, but then the Gemara brings it up here in talking about the relationship between people living in Eretz Yisrael versus living in Bavel. So says the Gemara, ready, second line, Amar of Mesha, Bar Breid, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Echad hanolad ba, a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael, ve'echad hametzape lirosa. Anybody who mitzape, who seeks, who longs, who looks to see Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi explains, v'hu yichoneneha, that it will, elyon, it will stand for that person, it will build that person up. That Eretz Yisrael looks out not just for echad hanolad ba, the people who are born there, the residents, the denizens, but also those who are mitzapet. The word tzipia, it has a specific connotation. Like the Gemara says, tzipisa li Yeshua. Letzapos means sofet, means to look forward to. A tzofe is somebody who doesn't sit in their dining room and wait. It's somebody who stands at the front door and looks out. So what's the Gemara telling us? That just being somebody who stands at the front door and looks to Eretz Yisrael, you're also from the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. It's the same Yisod. That somehow, by seeking Israel, by thinking about Israel, by being connected to Israel, that longing, that connection, that's the same thing. So how is that? How is it? It's in the Word. It's actually right there under our nose. Says the Hilgas Vasemes in Parashas Bahar, he works off the Pasuk, source number 4, U'bechol Eretz Achuzaschem, in all of the land of your grasp, which Achuza is a heritage, right? It's a legacy land. It's a piece of Eretz Yisrael. We don't have exactly that because we don't have an Achuza because we're Kohanim. We don't have the same thing like everybody else. But the other people in the room, they have an Eretz Achuz. They have a Sadeh that belongs to them. That's their familial land, their ancestral land. That's stay Achuza. Says the Sasemes, Al Yidei Haratzon, through the ratzon, the desire, the wanting. Vahachuka tamid lehistabek b'Hashem Yisbarach. And the fact that we want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Niftach hapnimius u'boha ge'ula. Our inner selves are opened up and the redemption comes. Here's the key line. You ready? Eretz is lashon. You see on the second line? Eretz, did you ever realize this? Is lashon ratzon, wanting, desiring, longing. Eretz lashon ratzon, lehistabik b'shoresh, to grasp the source, the root. Va'achizas kol adam, the lashon of achuza, of grasping, of heritage. Kol adam b'makar achayus. And see elsewhere. Eretz is milashon ratzon. That's the answer. The Medrash also has this idea that somehow Eretz Yisrael is Ose Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the point? The point is that the Ribbono Shalom says, look, I want a relationship with Klal Yisrael, with the Jewish people. So I'm going to give you a place that you're going to feel connected. You're going to feel like you belong. You belong to each other and to me. So of course, Avada Navada, it is a geographic location. And there is nothing like being in Eretz Yisrael. You could be in Williamsburg at a Bava Vertishin. It's amazing. It's very overwhelming. And it's beautiful and it's inspiring. But I'm telling you, there's nothing comparable to getting off that plane in Ben Gurion. I stepped off the plane last week. So, you know, it's true. You might be sweaty. You might have socks that need to be changed. You might need to brush your teeth. It's a long flight. Even if you have a direct, Baruch Hashem. But you can't. Mamish, it's just overwhelming. It's amazing. It's astonishing. You feel like these are your people. And it's the strangest, the most odd mix of multitude of Peyelech and maybe not so many long sleeves and all kinds, everything in between, like it's wild. But it's like unbelievable. We belong. This is our place. All of us, with all of our strangeness and all of our differences, the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, I want you to have a place. This is your place. I have a ratzon for you. And of course, this is about being in a physical place. It's Bechiras Makom. But it's the idea that it didn't have to be Yerushalayim. The Rebbeinu Shlomo chose Yerushalayim because he chose us. So he says, this is your place. This is you. This is me. We're all going to belong together. So, of course, we need that place. That's the only place where we're ultimately going to flourish. But there's an element here that says, wait a second. If really Eretz is about Ratzon, so there is an element of Eretz Yisrael that you can have anywhere in the world. It's just if you have that Ratzon. So now I can understand how you could be considered a Ben Eretz Yisrael, whether you're Nolad Bat, whether you live there, whether you have a Tudat Zehut, or you're Mitzvah Palarosa, or you just care. Because they both have the Ratzon. And Adrabah, you could argue, there's an old story. There was a poor Yid came to his Rav in Europe. He came to his Rav in Minsk. It's a great legend. And he asked the Rav in 1830, people are starting to talk, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, they're going to Israel. It's going to be very difficult. So he said to the Rav, should he go to Eretz Yisrael? Should he make Aliyah? Should he travel to Israel? 1830s. So the rabbi said to him, no, you should not go. It's better to be a Jew in Minsk who's dreaming and wishing they were in Yerushalayim than a Jew in Yerushalayim wishing they were in Minsk. It's not for you. You know what I'm saying? So what's the pshat? Obviously, of course, it's better to be a Jew in Yerushalayim. But the ikar of Eretz is Ratzon. So if a person doesn't have any Ratzon, so then it's chaser. And the other rabbi, the opposite is also true. If we make a zeich lemikdash, it's a kiyum of ratzon. Of course, you understand this is the word, because the word eretz is ani, aleph, I, ratz. You run. You're passionate about it. Eretz is a lashon of ratzon, which is the same word as ritzui, which means to be appeased, to have a relationship, which is the same word as ratz, larutz, to run, to be passionate. And I think to me, maybe this is just anecdotal, maybe I'm totally off. Maybe this is what we need to be focusing on, which is that this idea of ratzon, of wishing, of wanting, maybe, and maybe it's just my observation, is a little bit dormant. It's a little dormant in 2022. Of course, if somebody came to us and said Israel was in danger, I guarantee you every single person I know would give the shirt off their back. They would. But that's an extreme. The question is, on the day-to-day, year-to-year, from one Yom Ha'atzmaut to the next, do we feel that ratzon? Or have we slipped back into a little bit of the slumber, of the complacency, of the fact that it's accessible, and we take it for granted, and it's there, and we've gone, our kids have gone, we could get on a plane, we could go, so okay, so it is. It's Kayam. And that slight slip into the doldrums, it's a little bit precarious. Because this is an amazing yisod, it's a vort from Elie Wiesel, but he wasn't the Machadish. He came earlier, did a little bit of research, but he made it famous. You go back to that first page, Elie Wiesel, Zichron Levracha, he said, the enemy of love is not hate. It is indifference. Ratzon. Ratzon is love. The enemy of Ratzon is not hate. The people who are tearing Kriya on Yom HaAtzmaut and saying Slichus, they're doing that out of Ratzon. The people who are marching with flags and saying Yom HaAtzmaut, Hallel with the Bracha, they're doing that out of Ratzon. The challenge is the little part of us that maybe feels like, all right, I went to the Yom HaAtzmaut thing 5 years ago. I went a few times. I went to Yom HaZikaron once. You know, I sent my check to the FIDF or whatever. So it's going to be a day like every other day. That's the opposite of Ratzon. So I would say the goal is we should be mischazik that this should be a controversy and take a side. Be that person who's passionate and fired up in one way or another. It just can't be that it's a day like every other day. So we'll go to work because in America, we're going to go to work. Avada, we're going to go to work. It's interesting. Someone came over to me in shul yesterday and said, you know, it's an amazing confluence that the first Tuesday of every month at 10 o'clock in the morning is the emergency siren. Well, this Tuesday at 10 o'clock in Chicago is going to be 6 o'clock in Israel in the evening, and that's going to be just about when they're going to be doing the Yom HaZikaron tekes. So it says maybe we should have at Sfira, we should listen quietly to the 10 o'clock alarm. I thought it was really interesting to hear. But the point is, we need to wake ourselves up and care. Because the Ikar is the Ratzon. The Ikar is the Ratzon, whatever you're going to say. The Ikar of connecting to Eretz Yisrael is that Ratzon of wherever you are. That's the main point that I wanted to suggest. That please take a moment this week and make a controversy for yourself. So now, you can leave now. Or I wanted to say that there is a way to help us to nurture this by developing a narrative. And it's this narrative which is what creates the controversy. This narrative, ha-gufa, it is controversial. Because one perspective on this narrative is, wow, when we read it and we remind ourselves, that is the zecher, that's the ratzon of why we should appreciate Yom HaAtzmaut. And the other is, that narrative, it's bananas. It's sacrilegious. It's crazy. Why would we even think about doing this? It's like totally an anathema. And that's why we should dafka protest Yom HaAtzmaut. So this is what I want to spend the rest of the time on. We're not going to go through the whole thing in depth, but I'll pause for station identification for questions, comments, or observations, and then we're going to see this amazing piece. Not the whole thing, but a piece from Rav Kook's Hakdama to Shabbos Haaretz. We're in Shemitah right now. It's Rav Kook's Sefer on Shemitah, where he gives us a narrative, an arc, for us to see and appreciate this development and this story. So this Sefer, Shabbos Haaretz, is, you see, it's authored by Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. It is a halachic work. It is a halachic work dealing with the particulars of the rules of the laws of Shemitah, of the sabbatical year in which we are currently. I had a great, amazing opportunity last week to be, as you know, in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, recruiting for the Kollel. So somebody came in. I was in a meeting in an office, and somebody came in. They have grapefruits growing on their tree. And they had some extra grapefruits. They wanted to know if it was, anybody wanted a snack. So my first question was, does it have Kedusha Shvius? Because I want to be able to tell Rav Rimon, who's very excited about these kind of things. I'm like, I want to be able to tell him that I ate Peru Shvius. You know how special that is? Amazing. But there are a lot of laws involved with this whole story about Shemitah and how you discard and what you do with dealing with fruits and vegetables, everything. So this was authored by Rav Kook in Yafo. Remember, Rav Kook arrived in Yafo in 1914. This is authored in Tuf Reish Ayin. Yafo, Tuf Reish Ayin. In the introduction, he has the most magnificent, and you could spend many hours. My Rebbe Rav Moshe Weinberger this year is doing like a 60-part series just on this Hakdama of Shabbos Haaretz. It's like he's already 20 shiurim in, and he's only gotten like a few words in. It's so deep and so amazing. But this part, after Rav Kook begins talking about the notion of Shabbos and how it relates to an individual, and Shabbos arts relates to the nation, Rav Kook then spends a few pages, which is what we're going to survey right now, talking about the arc of Jewish history. And how when we were living in our ideal state, we were, as a people, which is clearly what the Chumash intended, that we should be 12 tribes, which is kind of like the Articles of Confederation or the states of a federal system, right? We don't think about it that way because now we think of Israel as one country, as one state. But the truth is, Israel ideally is a federation of states. There's a federal Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and then there are state Sanhedrin. There's the state of Reuven and the state of Shimon and the state of Yehuda. They each have their own Sanhedrin. So there is actually this very interesting national parallel. And Rav Hirsch points out, this is what Sefer Devarim is all about. It's all of the set of mitzvos. It's all the mitzvos that are pertinent to the national identity. So there's clearly the goal of not just me eating kosher and observing Shabbos. This is a whole society that's supposed to be the Or LaGoyim. We're supposed to be the light unto the world. So we're living in this land, and we are shining the values, the spiritual model for everyone. And we are observing, living, and expressing this spiritual ideal, which is expressed literally in letters in the Torah. But that's really an or, it's a light which is shining through our existence. And that, if you go in the bottom corner of section A here, it's in page Yud, HaTorah, the Torah, b'deoseh, with its ideals, chukeh, its laws, mishpateh, its rules, l'chai ha-yachid v'atzibor, for the individual and for the collective, hi ha-aspaklarya ha-me'ira, it is the enlightening and illuminating looking glass, shebesocha mishtakefes kol mailas ruach ha-uma, that our national spirit is expressed in its highest ideal. Bein haruach haskuli shel hashmita ubein ruach elyon ruach elokim chaim shel hayovel, through these different mitzvos of Shemitah and Yovel, the sabbatical year, the jubilee year, they enable us, they frame our existence as this model utopian spiritual society. And that gives us strength. Fourth line, harin no senes oz v'tzatzumos la'am berucho v'fo'aleh, through both our values and our actions, everything is perfect. We are shining among the nations. And that gives us strength and confidence. Olahi, go to the last line on the page. Olahi ha'uma baruma aliyoseh eile. Our values, all the different spiritual, noble values that the Ribbono Shel Olam bequeathed us, that he gave us, they are shining in this rainbow. And they give us such strength. Kishihi makeres es rucha atzmi. When we see and realize our spiritual core, Hakara Zu, top of the next column, Mevia Osa La Hiater Begoda Leva Vitoras Elokim Asher Omda. That enables us, that recognition of this gift, of this spiritual way of life, He Markivasa Alboma Se'aretz, that raises us up. And how beautiful and how grand and how amazing. And yet, unfortunately, next paragraph. Kisha omama bi Yisrael hakaras haruach ha'atzmi. When it was dimmed, when we abandoned and lost that recognition of our own inner spiritual light. For Rav Kook, the idea that, you know, the Gemara says in Yuma, in the first base of Mikdash, we did Averus A, B, and C, and that's why we got into trouble. Or in the second base of Mikdash, we did Averus something else, you know, the big three versus the internal fighting, all that. Rav Kook says those are more symptoms than they are causes. The cause of our gullus, of our downfall, was our becoming exiled from our inner selves. Rav Kook elsewhere talks about Va'ani b'socha gola. When Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, he lost himself. He lost his awareness of his own identity. So in a certain sense, Rav Kook is describing this phenomenon on a national level, that as Jews, we lost our sense of spiritual self. And that led to all this other stuff, all the practical expressions of brokenness. Shachach es uzo v'gaono. We forgot our greatness. Hamabat hachitzoni al hasviva harachov ha'bilti mifutachas ha'proes betiva b'chirasa gam yachad hishkiach mimenos gedulas segulas. We started looking around. We started getting into, oh, you know what's really important? Finance. Finance, very important. Not taking anything away from finance. You know what's really important? I don't know. Building big houses or other cultural institutions. Whatever it was that distracted us. Rav Kook says that wildness, we lost ourselves. Instead of focusing on who we are and what our divine mission is, we got distracted. And all of a sudden now, Be'eretz HaChaim, in this land, which is the place where we nurture this godliness, okay, we have a problem. So, this he discusses more on the previous page. We're sent away. And now we end up in Galus. So now we're wandering in Galus. If you look at the end of the page, he's quoting the Psukim of destruction, Vashimosi, Ani Es Haaretz, Ve'eschem Es Har Bagoyim. So turn the page now. So what happened? This is the beginning of the narrative. For Rav Kook, the beginning of the narrative is about living in a state of geula, which means we are in touch with our national spiritual mission and identity. And we lose that, so we end up in Chutz La'aretz. So now, here is what happens next. And this is part of where the controversy is. This narrative, do you agree with it or do you not agree with it? Rav Kook says, listen, Yisrael Bagola, top of page Yud Beis, section C, the Jewish people, when we were in exile, Ozav es da'agaso, we abandoned mikol inyone chol mitzad klolos ha'uma. What happens when we go into exile? We stop worrying about the physical elements of the nation. Sam es eino v'libo rak b'shamay mimal. Only worrying about spiritual. What does the Gemara in Bracha say? After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, God has ein lo lakadosh baruch hu ela dalan amo shel halacha. When we're in Chutz La'aretz, we focus on spiritual, religious survival, on religious practice, on observance. Lo halach od laharbo schayel rechev sus kechol goyal admaso. We didn't deal with the standard issue items that are appropriate for a nation. What does a nation need? It needs a Secretary of Defense, government, exactly. It needs all those national institutions. When we're in Gullus, we don't have those. Our primary focus is religious practice, halacha, survival. That's what we're focused on. Rav Kook says that's what happens when we get sent out of Eretz Yisrael. So, yes, we did maintain kihilos and vad ha'atzalah and pinkasim and all those things, but that's not the same as a national project. Those are just local communal initiatives. So we have an Eruv here, so we get together to work an Eruv. We have hashgacha, but those are just functionaries. So we have a gemilas chasadim society. We have chevra kadisha. We don't have an army. We don't have a police force. We don't have all of these other social institutions that normal nations have. Because we're in exile. So for 2,000 years, we didn't worry about these things. It wasn't an issue. Then he says, V'ruach Hashem, fourth line, Heichel l'famu l'haskel al erech adam v'alos v'nishmaso. All of a sudden, over time, and when is Rav Kook talking about the 19th century? There begins to be this movement. And maybe, I don't know, but maybe Rav Kook would say that the whole purpose of nationalism in the world, which of course in Germany and other places nationalism was very big in the 19th century, was to awaken the spiritual nationalism that Pintel Yid on a national level for us, of Jews. So now, for Rav Kook, this historical phenomenon of a national awareness, which we could call in other terms Zionism, is really an expression of a long dormant Nekuda of Ruchnius. We hadn't dealt with it. Now all of a sudden people are saying, well, what's going to happen to Jews? We need a nation. We need a state. We need a place. Is it Uganda? Is it Palestine? What's it going to be? Because we need a nation. For Rav Kook, that is a spiritual phenomenon. That's a controversial statement, but that's Rav Kook's view, that there is this march, this inexorable march toward Geula, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is sprouting up the ideal of Jewish nationalism as an expression of an Inyan Ruchani. And what happens? All of a sudden, there are people who start to become interested. Cain, Haaretz Nehisnara Mitumasa, next paragraph. The land starts to wake up. But of course, as you know, as this movement is happening, it's not the very often, not predominantly, the religious people who are building this movement. It's people who are not religious people. Interesting. So Rav Kook goes on to describe how this movement is taking shape. The land is starting to be cultivated. Go down two paragraphs. Kates Yeshua Nestam Charech Lavo Lefuma Logalia Mi Ba Besor Hashem Ladas Matai Taru Kol LaAretz VaGoy Mitumas Anida Shalohem Masai Shuv Ruach Shavarach Mistato Baatz Muso VeNigla Bulos Of Kiviminis Achshar Samatov Mechitzonu Achshir Mesas Galu Bomas Ola. How long is it going to take? We don't know, but nonetheless, we see that the land is coming back. Kol Od Shelo Kol Azam. Next paragraph. Kol Zman Shema Maki Ruach Uma Varetz Lo Sar Adain Chalomim Haisa Oz Kol Sibas Pnosam Rak El Al El Kodesh Hashem Rak Mirov Shom Musam. He says initially, why did we come back? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let that inner spiritual flame die. We came back because we were being persecuted. Why did Theodor Herzl think that we should have a state? Because he couldn't handle the Dreyfus Affair and the more pogroms. But Rav Kook says that's just the outer layer. The inner layer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waking up that inner nefesh of Ruach Yisrael to have a fullness of Geula, which is going to be both the spiritual and the physical, the national identity. And that's what the next paragraph, of course, we need the Ruach HaShesh Nishbal B'mehara. So now we start moving back. Go to the next paragraph. Go to the next page. Kemoshet Zeirahi. We really should spend many more weeks on this, but go to the fourth paragraph. Just like Zeirahi Komuus Amenu Admas Kodesh, just like it is young, this revival, it's small, it's weak, maybe even you could say, it has a pejorative connotation, but it's pathetic compared to what our vision is. We want Beis HaMikdash. We want Mashiach Tzidkenu. We want a spiritual government. Not a secular one, but nonetheless, it's something. And then he goes on to explain why learning Shemitah is going to be maybe Lidei Maisa and bring us back to take more steps in this road. I'm oversimplifying, and this is a magisterial piece. But what's the narrative that Rav Kook is giving us? He says, look, when we were living in our land, we had a national identity that was exuding Ruchnius. That was our spiritual greatness. Then we went into exile, and what happened? In exile, our goal was maintain our religious identity, but all of the physical elements, that's going to take a step back. But that's only because we're in exile. Now that we're in the process of redemption, well, what's returning to the fore? All of the national elements, which we had in the times of Balchus Beis David, when things were in their ideal. So that meant a government, a police force, a social services department, the Department of the Interior, all those things. So those are coming back. Rav Kook, of course, died in 1935, never got to see the State of Israel. But the State of Israel is now, the Ramban would say, wait a second, now we have our own country. We're mekayim the mitzvah of v'orashtem ba'os v'yashavtem ba, because now the British aren't in charge, and the Turks aren't in charge, and the Mamluks aren't in charge, Jews are in charge. And that's another step of building a government and building the national infrastructure on the way toward the ultimate vision of a nation of individuals all expressing this Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So does that resonate? Do we realize what a significant moment we are in Jewish history? We are at a time where we can pinpoint a date on the calendar at which it was announced that there would be the national institutions belonging to the people Israel, that we were going to have all of these things. Now you could argue the truth is, well, maybe it's just the beginning of the war, so it should be a different date, or it should be, but can you ignore this process? It's unbelievably compelling. Or you could say the opposite. You could say Rav Kook is totally wrong, and that until Mashiach comes, we need to be focused strictly and exclusively on the Dalet HaMashal Halacha, and that this is actually the Maisa Satan according to the Sadma Rav, and we're violating the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you should protest. And that the Ribbono Shel Olam is calling on us to step up and say, this is an outrage. But the main thing is, step up and do something. Take a moment on Yom HaZikaron, on Yom HaTzma'ut, on Yom Yerushalayim, take a moment to say, wait a second, something is happening here. It's not Olam Kiminhago Noeg. We're not in the 16th century right now. We're at a time and a place where, according to Rav Kook, if this is our Masorah, this is a process which is unfolding before our eyes of Geula. And so whether or not you say Hallel, or you say Hallel with a bracha, or without a bracha, that's not the issue. The issue is, are we realizing that we are in this moment, and are we taking the opportunity to reach out and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want you. Because obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to Rav Kook, is saying to us, I want you. I have ratzon for you. Ani ratz lachem. I'm giving you an eretz. That shows ani rotzeh. Ani rotzeh, ani rotzeh. He's saying, it's like Shir HaShirim. He's knocking on the door. What did Rav Soloveitchik say about the state of Israel? Kol dodi dofek. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to us, ani rotzeh. So even if Chicago is our current place of residence, we could still answer the Ribbono Shel Olam and say to him, ani rotzeh agam kein. Yom HaTzmaut is an opportunity, in whatever way you're going to observe it, to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there is a musag eretz, wherever you are in the world, ani rotzeh. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to make a zecher to the fact that we have a ratzon, to be together, to connect, ani rotzeh. And so this opportunity, this knocking, is a chance for us, it's an invitation for us to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani rotzeh otcha, I love you. And make sure that it's not a day of indifference. Whatever it is, it's an opportunity for us to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani rotzeh.